I'm Winston Crutchfield, your host for the Critical Mass podcast here at Critical Press Media. The October-November Bard contest is over and those results are in. The bonus offer from Spirit Blade Productions when you buy any copy of the Atomic Earth board game through through December 23rd is still ongoing. The Podcasting for Water benefit book is out, and we're going to talk about all that and a little bit more, so stick around. Challenge to make the bard not suck in a tactical role in dungeon crawl combat.
To be an essential member, not one of these extras you don't need.
Exactly. And all of the submissions are in, and we have
ooh, big two.
Yeah, well, you know.
we make do with what we have. We have two essential roles here. And the first one we're going to talk about is probably the simplest. And that's the bard as the fighter. A bard is not a frontline fighter.
No chance.
They're never going to replace your fighter, your monk, your barbarian, you know, or even the paladin. You know, they're not ever going ranger. To replace that without... well, they have the same base attack as the ranger.
No, they don't. Ranger
has full base attack.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right. My bad. But you give your 16th level bard, you give him 8 levels of duelist, and you give him the appropriate light weapon feeds. I mean, some things you have to take as a light fighter. You have to take weapons finesse. You have to take agile fighting.
Yeah.
Unless you miraculously do have a good strength, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like you're playing human, you could roll good and put it there if you got that much extra.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
Except David's.
But, you know, as something that if you're going to want to put most of your bonuses into dex so that you can get that armor class...
Yeah,
high enough. You might as well take advantage of that, right?
And your reflex save up there,
right? Mm-hmm. Armor class and reflex save. You might as well take advantage of that with those. But as a duelist, the bard doesn't suck. I mean, you give them that they've got the spring attack ability. Mm-hmm. You can jump in, jump out. They're
Parry
is a long good. Way towards foiling individual. Opponents, and even again, as a duelist, they're, once again, not a frontline fighter. They're not going to be wading in and cutting down hordes of things at one time. They're going to take on opponents one at a time.
Move in and out of things. If there's a real fighter there,
aid the party
that way.
Right, aid
Move
the party.
From the side, right. Hit them, retreat.
Now, you got the weak-ass lizard who's fighting, mm-hmm. losing, he steps into the side, flanks the dude, stabs him. Yay!
Draws attention. The duelist can provide flanking bonuses for the people around him and interception ability so that, you know, you can't dash past the duelist without invoking an attack of opportunity to get, you know, you can't dash past to get to the cleric or the wizard or the people at the back of the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a duelist with a good rapier or something like that, especially an enchanted rapier, you know, will be able to take advantage of that to... at least stop people from barging past them.
Yeah. Their parry ability helps immensely. They mm-hmm. give up that attack, but they can use it to block other attacks, meaning they can serve as type of low-grade shield.
Defensive fighter.
To yeah. keep things off people. That's their point.
They
can sing at the same time, so they pump the whole party. Most right. importantly, themselves.
Most importantly, themselves.
Which seems to turn into a choreographed musical fight.
Yes.
And you
Which
can,
it would.
You can do that with the appropriate feat. It's not we can't use it for the game thing because it's not in the Pathfinder core rules. And right, the feat was musical martial arts or something like that. Once you get to the once you have a base attack bonus of like. Plus 6, I think it was, you can use your performance dance in place of your base attack bonus.
Ooh. That's wicked.
Which can be, especially for a bard.
It's like capoeira.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, like capoeira.
Skies is a dance.
Right.
All the time.
Which makes a bard, a duelist, very, very dangerous. Again, it's not a feat you're going to start off with, but at lower levels, the difference it's not that critical anyway. But and at 16th level, I think the duelist is only giving up like 4 points of base attack to the straight fighter because the duelist has the good base attack bonus.
Yeah,
because he is a fighter,
and maybe even less than that.
So it's not bad. I mean, they still suffer on hit points, But a good, if you're going to make your bard into a duelist, if you put some emphasis into con instead of charisma.
Yeah. Or, and then give him, instead of the extra skill points per level, give him the extra hit points. So you get 16 more hit points.
He doesn't need the skill points because he's already very skilled.
Yeah,
very
but skilled, right? I mean, if he's already hit point, you put more in the skill to get extra rat better.
Common sense kicks in too, but on generically, you know.
Right. Pump the con, pump the dex, and you've got a fighter that... that
sings.
Can, a fighter that sings and dances.
Yeah.
He's and uses tights. A...
Actually, he only loses 2 points.
Only gives up 2 points? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not very... That's
not much.
Yeah, 10% on the outside.
Yeah.
So you can turn the bard into a respectable fighter. Decent magic items to pump that armor class. Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, an enchanted mithril shirt. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other things will easily get that armor class up to the 30s at level 16.
Yeah, there's plenty available for that stuff.
So the bard becomes a mid-grade fighter, a defensive fighter.
Yeah.
And if you take advantage of spells, because as the duelist, you get, there's no part of the, you're not standing and fighting all the time. It doesn't hurt you to take a round off and cast a spell. You know, a daze spell or a sleep spell or
summon monster. Draw attention. That's the important part.
Mm-hmm. So, but the other one we have is the bard as the buff debuff character. And I think this is the one that that caused us the most fun. And David sent this in to us. And we've kitted him out with some better magic items. Including, what did you give him here? We got a better armor.
Yeah, he's got to get better armor.
Took away the longsword, gave him a rapier.
Because that ain't going to help him any.
Cloak of displacement.
Yeah.
Something of invisibility.
Yeah, anything of giving him, turn invisible so he can get out of there or hide.
Even has the spell, but a ring of invisibility is relatively cheap.
He's got two rings on him already. Yeah, so but we were gonna replace those with a better, a belt or something to pump all of the attributes.
Because you can do that.
Much easier.
But give him invisibility, because that way, I mean, nothing else can help him hide, because that character needs to take it from disabled device.
Took ranks out of disabled device.
And put it in the stealth, because that means he's the only party member they'll see, and that means the only party member they'll shoot.
Yeah.
Because even my fighter has more stealth than he does.
One of the bard's strongest abilities is use magic device, and wands were sorely neglected. I see you've...
Yeah, like Greg mentioned.
Wands.
Give him a couple wands in case he can't do it to summon monster, and that way it's quick, easy, and painless.
Wands to summon monster. What about wands of fireballs or
any wands?
Scorching ray. Yeah,
I mean, scorching ray.
Yeah, but that worked with his character more to help, you know, distract or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
but any wands.
Give him a wand of flashbang grenades, I wish. That'd be working good.
And the repeating crossbow.
Yeah.
Enchanted repeating crossbow.
He wants to do a ranged weapon, do that.
He's got a couple of very good magic items on him already, including the Horn of Greater Shout, as cast by 15th level, so that's 15d6 worth of damage in a cone.
Yes.
That's
that's pretty impressive and dangerous. It's Sonic.
It's Sonic, yeah.
That will go through a lot of critters. They won't like that.
And his lyre or lute or
whatever it is.
Whatever it was.
Mass Cure Wounds.
It's a lute. A lute of Mass Cure Light Wounds. Which is very, very impressive.
At least in the Harpsichord chord.
Especially since you can pick which targets it's going to hit.
Right, you can target your friends without curing the enemy.
Yes, or you can target both your friends and the undead around you, which is very nasty.
But still.
As they'll start popping and cooking.
Yep.
The only bad thing with the character that I see is that, you know, he's got to hide himself, because as soon as he starts putting off doing any of this stuff, they're going to fireball.
As soon as he becomes a factor,
he's got a high reflex save. I got to give him that. Because that's part of the bard.
But he doesn't have the evasion skill.
No.
No.
And there's no way to get it.
No.
Ring of Evasion.
Okay.
We're already loading up on rings anyway.
That's
where the blinking comes in.
Circle of Evasion, whatever.
Because blinking, if they don't have a ghost touch type of spell,
or weapon,
that's not, the displacement item.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will act as evasion. You'll take half. When you do your saves, you'll take half damage or no damage, just like evasion.
And they got a 50% chance of missing all the time when they attack you.
Yes.
So, you know, if somebody jumps him, they can still miss half the time.
Yeah.
The notes I've got here, first of all, notes that with the magic items to pump the attributes and putting bonuses into appropriate attributes gives him his bardic abilities and spells a base DC of 20 plus the spell level, which is astonishing.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
You know, 20, and I think
they need it.
We figured that the bardic enchantment stuff goes up to DC 28 to save against. Was that right?
26. Yeah.
Which is still...
It's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
He needs it, because a lot of his things are save or die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
So that's it. That's the bad part, is the save or die. In his case, it's likely to kick in, but... Still.
Hit or miss.
Unfortunately, the bardic abilities themselves continue to be mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, at level 16, your Inspire Courage only gives a +3.
Yeah. That's not much.
But it is, if there's a fighter in the group, like mine did, that does make my fighter better, because he's got Bravery, which does the fear. Well, that adds to that. That's +7. And then due to special weapon focus, if I'm fighting my fighter, that just makes my fighter better. And it gives him a +3. I mean, it helps the fighter more than anyone else.
It helps cut DR.
The more attacks per round people have and they're engaging in, the better it helps. That's +3 to damage. The hit's true. By this point, the hit doesn't matter so much.
So, like, for...
But that damage bonus is precious.
I mean, he's with our kobold group, Drax, that'd be 7. That's 21 more points for him.
Okay. Which is impressive.
It cuts DR, because even against a +5 DR, you know, that...
That cuts a chunk of it off.
Yeah. And helps you do...
The more strength-based attacks coming out of your party, the board's worth. Period, you know.
The other ones, I note he doesn't use any of the other bardic songs at all.
Many aren't worth much.
For one thing, they're specifically not combat-based. Because...
With the exception of the heroism... The heroism adds a couple of hit dice, but by 16th level, adding a couple of hit dice, even fighter-grade hit dice, which it specifically says it is, isn't really helping a lot.
Especially at this level.
Yeah. Especially at this level.
I mean, you got to think of the encounters for these class levels, 16.
Mm-hmm.
That means on the average, everything's going to have an AC equal to yours and a to hit bonus better. It'd be a challenge to the party. And they do. We've run into that already.
Yeah.
It's either they don't, or they'll be higher than up, but still. So that means his current AC, like 23, he's going to get hit all the damn time.
Yeah.
He does make good use of the spells, including spells like Greater Dispel and
very, very useful.
Mind Fog to boost his other enchantments. Which a Mind Fog in combination with Sleep or Daze or other enchantment spells like that can really thin out the attack.
He can dominate with his domination at that point, and then proceed to have that person start wiping the rest of them out. You know, he picks on some fighty type with usually low wills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He picks on them, makes them turn on their enemy.
Turn on the caster. And if he can take out the casters...
Yeah. He can just use the opponents to do his own bidding.
Mm-hmm. Now, and Summon Monster helps in that way, because he can... summon a monster and say, stand here and soak up damage for me.
Yeah.
The problem always being with summon monster is a full round action. That's why he has to be hideable.
Or,
right,
like I said, do it a few rounds, you know, just
before doing combat.
It before combat, you know, he's got 16 rounds of it, so summon a monster, 16 rounds, you know, just before the 16th, summon another one or whatever.
And again, we're talking about feats that increase his... dex advantages and survivability. So again, weapon finesse to keep him, you know, to make the strength bonus not important as much, agile fighting. Combat expertise is a great help, because this is not a frontline fighter. He's not going to be using that base attack bonus as much as he needs that...
His armor class.
He needs that extra armor class.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Whip could be very useful, as it's a reach, trip, and a disable, disarm attack. You can use all of those using the Whip easy. With it being reach, he stays out of combat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important for him. You don't want to be in combat.
Mm-hmm. And if he's got the money or something, brilliant energy Whip. God.
That's beautiful.
Money, he maximizes the ability to spend money on this one, because with the item creation feats, this particular bard is going to get maximum use out of their gear.
Yes.
And they need that
when he orders the guests to assemble.
They're going
to
need every bit of gear to stay alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be done relatively cheaply, actually, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes a small amount to make the character much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, he already didn't even calculate in the fact that it cost half for most of his items.
Mm-hmm.
And that extra money, extra 100,000 gold, won't even take half that to make it more effective.
With his use magic items, whatever skill.
Yeah.
He can load up the ones, knock all the ones that would help.
Yeah, cure Sirius and, other...
Scorching Ray. Lightning Bolt, the good ones.
He can be effective at a...
one thing we don't see very often is the Greater Dispel, which he says specifically that you were to use that Greater Dispel to take out the enemy's magic items.
Magic
item, yes. Now, that can be problematic, because you can identify magic items with detect magic, but...
Only generically.
Right, you don't know what's...
You don't know exactly what it is.
Because it might just be a simple item.
It's a crapshoot. So while it's not a bad use of the spell, perhaps you would get a more benefit out of casting that mind fog or something, or other area effect spells like that early.
Yeah, or the area thing to neutralize spellcasters.
Yes, and knock out party spells too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that way.
Because that Greater Dispel, he's still a full caster as a bard, so he gets his full bonus to try to put it out. So he's rolling a d20 plus his level against the opposing casters. So he's got a very decent chance of knocking something down.
Mm-hmm. And keeping them down for a while.
Popping an entire party, even if he knocks down a few of their spells that are on them, that's still important. You know? And for wizards and stuff, who often depend on that for their protection, you knock their mage armor off of them.
Or the stone skin they put on their fighter.
Yes, stone skin, things like that. And he can knock the whole party out if he does good enough.
Mm-hmm.
One spell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's effective.
It just depends on what you're fighting against or come up against. He has to adapt.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of pretty much anything. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you come against a bunch of fighters, I mean, he's got to choose, okay.
Yeah,
if he comes
against
the chance,
fighters, he shouldn't fight.
Yeah.
And then
run and hide, make use of that invisibility, and just...
Yeah. Cloak of Arachnia. That's one of our favorites anyway, because it gives you spider climb all the time.
He
climbs up
wall.
To the ceiling and then proceeds
and
to cause
out
havoc.
Of the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look, I got an aerial
and that's where those crossbows come in. Stick himself to a nice high ceiling and sit there and shoot his opponents, if you're necessary.
Well, let's talk real quickly about some of the roles that the bard... we've pretty much decided a bard is manifestly not suited for. First of all is the wizard's role. The mage's role.
No, the closest they can get is using wands and such.
Wands
and those have
guys,
very low safety Cs compared to a real wizard.
Yeah, and still you can have a sorcerer who has to use items, which just eliminates the need for a bard, because sorcerers rule. Oh, yeah.
New sorcerers very much rule. They're very impressive.
Yeah, at that level, the bard they just can't...
they can't
hang in there. They don't have the range of spells. They don't have the punch. Spells.
Yeah.
And the bard's spell list is not...
it's very limited.
You know, it is not going to match up. So while you can fudge a lot of things, especially with the item creation rules, letting a high-level bard make a lot of good stuff, their raw casting power is simply not up to a full-class caster. The other is the rogue. And the rogue has a number of abilities that the bard simply can't match. Number one, disable magic device.
Number two, sneak attack.
Sneak attack. Evasion is another one.
Yeah.
Those and then in Pathfinder, the advanced rogue abilities.
Are very good.
Which are mind-boggling. Yeah.
Nasty.
You know, again, they're not a frontline fighter, but they're not meant to be.
Yeah.
So, but the things that the rogue specializes in, there's just no way to attribute those, you know, to mimic those abilities with the bard. You can
easily.
Not easily. I mean, you can take a bunch of ranks in stealth. You can take a bunch of ranks and disable device.
Some of the monster helps some.
Yes.
But you're going to use a lot of power trying to match up, and you're not going to match up.
Yeah.
You know, sneak attack, you're not going to match the sneak attack.
No, unfortunately not. Although at level 20, the bard's dance of death is...
That's impressive.
Yeah. Again, but it's level 20.
You need a whirling dervish by then.
Yeah.
There's and ways. If it lives to be a level 20,
yeah,
it owes the party a lot. They helped keep him alive, or her, in this case.
Clerics, they don't make very good clerics. They make
item-dependent to do that.
They're very item-dependent all around.
And then they still can't turn or do the positive energy channeling.
No, they can't do that. Yeah. And that's really good now. I mean, that's really good. They don't match in the high-level spellcasting department. Any spellcaster, even a cleric on the high end, is going to sit there and, you know, pop them down.
Well, they match up with Ranger and Paladin.
Well, they exceed Ranger and Paladin in some ways.
Well, they get more spells.
They get
than
more
they get
spells and such. Ranger and Paladin, it's just minor boosts.
Ranger
that's all
needs spells. It's in trouble.
Yeah. Rangers should not
because their spells don't really help them out too much in certain situations. It doesn't matter.
Paladins, their spells are okay.
They smite. If it's evil, it's going down if they can fight it.
Yeah.
So we've come up with a good mid-level fighter and a good buff-debuff character, you know, to make your people more effective and to thin out the ranks of the enemy. But... you know, that both of them draw upon the rest
the
of the party for support. But I think what we've... between the two of these, does it make you want to play a bard?
No.
Come on!
No, he's a supportive character. If I'm going to support it, I can make my ranger commando who does all the stuff.
Fair enough.
You know, or I got my sorcerer I made. He can stay back and just blast the hell out of stuff.
So do we give the award to David for the...
He's done the most work and the most exotic.
He's the most useful easily.
Yeah.
Just a little tone up there and he'd be better. Mm-hmm. We'd let him in the party.
Yeah. That's the highest praise he's going to get into the party.
It's the style of your campaign, style of your players. If they adapt well to having a guy in the back they had to watch. Because even the thief, they know he runs around doing something.
Exactly. You know.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things.
You can substitute
the party
for the thief if you're willing to give up those trap-finding abilities, which is really what the thief excels at. The sneak attack, I mean, his buff-debuff roll here where he thins out the enemy is a version of what the thief does with the sneak attack. Only
or
he does it
a
one
fighter
time.
That specializes in light weaponry.
Right.
Because,
right.
Step in, move, tack, get out.
The bigger your
party... A swashbuckler's close to right there.
Yes.
That's what he... I mean, that's the thing. It's a combination.
And we should mention that David made his thing on 16 levels of bard.
Yeah, all bard.
All bard. All the time.
All the time. The bigger your party, the better the bard.
Yeah.
Oh, because the more number of attacks come out of it that you can pump.
Yeah.
A party of all fighters with a bard would be very dangerous.
True. Well, I think we're just going to call it right there, guys. Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
A different time. A different world, really.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
You probably wouldn't understand. No one else does.
It just seems like there might be some basic truth out there that we've all somehow missed.
They all want me to believe just what they do.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
Independent thought? In my world, It's a relic of the past.
Just once, I want to know the truth. No riddles or hidden meanings, no answers that just lead to more questions. I just want the truth.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
I need more time!
You're out of time! We shall bathe in your blood, human. Burn him.
What the drac are you?
The ultimate life form. Demonic spirit bonded to human flesh.
Whoever ate of the fruit of this tree of life, if you will, would live forever. Their body and soul would both become completely indestructible. Atlantis and the Shada both believe that it still exists somewhere on Earth. And for the last 4 years, they've been secretly pooling their resources in an effort to find it.
There's not a thing on this planet that can kill me.
Take him down!
What's the problem? We're hitting everything but the freak!
I don't know, sir. My men are all top-rated marksmen. I've never seen them have such difficulty with a target.
But it's an idea that makes me the most dangerous man alive.
Target's confirmed, men. Get down!
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
We have been infiltrated. Someone knows about the tree.
No more time for delays.
You and your kind are running out of time here, demon. We don't need much more, boy.
It's time we must part our ways. You to go and be with God, and I to go and become him.
You're a monster.
His molecular structure is reforming, rebonding.
He's rebuilding himself.
Into what?
I am now the ultimate organism.
Some kind of sick blend of human and demon.
There's too many of them. One goes down and three more take its place.
Take David, get out of here!
We've got to find Merrick. He has to choose. He has to believe him, or we'll all be dead within hours.
Terribly exciting, isn't it?
A different time. A different world, really. They'll tell you that we've arrived, that we've got it all figured out. But the next time they do, ask them what they know about the Spirit Blade.
I can feel its power from here.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me what this feels like.
Spirit Blade, a science fiction audio experience. For more information, visit www.spiritblade.net.
Last week, to get on that great deal, buy a copy of the Atomic Earth board game and get a free digital download from any one of the Spirit Blade Productions audio dramas only through December 23rd. Great opportunity to get some great audio. Don't pass it up. Also, while you're there, head over to spiritblade.net and check out Peter Franzen's other stuff, including the Spirit Blade Underground. For a limited time only, the O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the Spirit Blade version, and a fantastic deal on Pilgrim's Progress. Buy one digital download, gift one digital download, absolutely free. Great stuff. Get it while you can. Once again, many thanks to the guys over at Fear the Boot for their support and their discussion of the whole Bard problem on the forums and in the podcast. They're great sports. Although I advocate a style of gaming that is definitely not FTB 9000 compliant. The Podcasting for Water Benefit book is finally out. You can get your copy directly from Critical Press Media or from our publishing partner Lulu at lulu.com or lulu.com/criticalpress to go right to the Critical Press Lulu store. Some great fiction by some great authors. Including myself, as well as Deborah Caligiuri, David Crutchfield, Laura Thompson, Kelsey Felder, Justin Lowmaster, and a whole bunch of others. And with every purchase of this book, Critical Press Media will make a donation to the Podcasting for Water cause, and that there is no expiration on that deal. That is ongoing, So, you know, stop by, support a great cause, and get yourself something, you know, some good literature to read at the same time. And in just a second, we're going to let John Wilkerson, the Jesus Geek, tell us all about that and take us out of here. Our opening music was Perfect Union from The Get on the compilation album In-Depth Melodics, Volume 1. Look for the notes, look for the links in the show notes to get some more great music from the In-Depth Melodics crew. And before I battle on just horribly further, let's let John Wilkerson close us on out.
I'm pleased to announce that Winston Crutchfield over Critical Press Media has released a book to benefit Podcasting for Water and Living Water International. The book includes original fiction from Deborah Caliguri, Laura Thompson, Kelsey Felder, and Justin Lomaster. David Crutchfield contributes an all-new gargoyle story, and Winston Crutchfield takes us to the atomic Earth. These modern writers are joined by classic works and essays on the importance and history of clean water. When Winston first told me he wanted to do this, I was very humbled. I continue to be humbled by the generosity of others. People have given up their money, time, facial hair, podcasting airtime, and prayers, all to help raise money for people who need clean water. There were no words to express the immense blessings I received from joining with others to make the world a better place in the name of Jesus. I want to share with you the introduction I wrote for the book. When Winston asked me to write an introduction for this book, I really didn't know what to say. I've never written an introduction for a book. I've never had anyone inspired to write a book because of something I did or said. It's an odd and humbling feeling to know that you've so profoundly impacted someone that they felt the need not only to support you, but to come alongside you and help you. In December 2008, my pastor mentioned the Advent Conspiracy Project in church. I went home that day, watched the videos, and was immediately moved to do something about the water crisis in the world. If they could partner with Living Water International, then so could I. I cooked up a plan, set a goal, and started sending emails to Living Water International and fellow podcasters. I have to admit, this little fundraising project started off very slow, and given the state of our economy then and now, I would have been happy raising $100, much less the $2,200 raised by the end of November 2009. In fact, if things go the way I expect, we'll raise over $3,000 by year-end, not including the proceeds that come from this book. Without water, people cannot live, eat, or have any kind of progressive culture. Throughout history, empires have been won and lost over water. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus was around water. He understood the significance of water in the lives of people. He preached near it, was baptized in it, and even walked on it. Paul describes the Word of God as water that's able to cleanse our minds and souls. Water is life. I knew something had to be done about the crisis in our world. The fact that 800 million people live without clean water is a tragedy. The fact that the problem could be so easily and economically solved, and yet still there are people dying daily due to waterborne illnesses, is a failure on the part of the church to rise up and provide a cup of water to those who desperately need it. We spend billions of dollars a year on, quote, Christian entertainment, end quote, and yet people are dying. Where is our sense of urgency? I'm guilty of it too. Podcasting for Water is a way for me to give back, to take a look at where I spend my hard-earned dollars and make a difference in the lives of others. Hopefully, the little I've been able to raise through this project will inspire and encourage others to seek out ways they can impact the world in a practical and spiritual way. Water's Life is now available directly from Critical Press Media at criticalpressmedia.com and from Lulu. Critical Press Media uses exclusively print-on-demand creation and shipping of products. Your book will be created to order. Please allow 2 to 4 weeks for delivery. Every purchase of the paperback also includes a digital copy of the book for your immediate enjoyment. Listen, the folks at Advent Conspiracy and Living Water International, all the other podcasters and everyone else out there, They have all really made an effort to bring to light the importance of the church giving, not only during this Christmas season, but throughout the year. We need to change our mindset. We need to stop thinking so much about consuming for our own needs and think about how we can start blessing others. Purchasing this book is a great way to do that because you get a great book with some great stories in it, but you also get money donated to a ministry that will change people's lives forever. So I hope that you will join me in purchasing this book and also giving to Podcasting for Water, a Facebook cause that benefits Living Water International.
This month's release from the Data Vault Archives is Interplanetary Hunter from Arthur Kelvin Barnes. Catch 'em Alive, Jerry Carlisle and her fiancé, Tommy Strike, journey the solar system in hunt of the most fearsome, the most elusive, and most dangerous predators that the system has to offer, and bring them back alive to the London Interplanetary Zoo. Get your copy directly from Critical Press Media or from our publishing partner, Lulu.com, today.
Email at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.